The Hawaii Government Employees Association represents close to 28,000 active members, as well as more than 12,000 retirees. It's closely watching the outcome of lawsuits filed on the mainland by some groups looking to claim back dues following the recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on what's called the Janus case. That ruling, tied to First Amendment arguments, allows union members to opt out of paying dues. This summer, that subject dominated the union conferences. HGA union leader Randy Pereira just returned from a gathering on the mainland. The union is a member of AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He sat down to talk with us about the impact the Janus decision may have on Hawaii unions.
As anticipated, we've received some calls from individuals who are looking to opt out of their membership, but in consultation with our fellow unions like the HSTA, the UPW, et cetera, we're not seeing tremendous numbers of people. There are calls, of course, but there's no rush or stampede of people trying to opt out.
And then there was a bill that the governor signed into law, which sets up a process for folks to, I guess, opt out.
Right. So you're referring to what is Act 7 from this past legislative session, and that identifies a specific time frame during which people have the opportunity to opt out. We're getting a number of calls about that explanation and honestly some upset from those who may not be in that window period when they individually would be able to opt out. But that is the law now, and we, along with the other unions, are implementing that process as would be required.
So the state initially said they were waiting for lists from the unions as to, you know, who their members were exactly, because the state really doesn't keep track like that.
That's correct. But actually, those lists were provided immediately, I believe, by all of us on the day of the Janus decision. So there may have been a lag time for the state in particular to get that information, but we provided it immediately because we were, of course, anticipating the decision that was pretty well publicized. And we had the letters prepared. All we had to do was date it and sign it and basically provide the digital information to the employers as to who was in the organization and who had voluntarily not joined.
And so you represent a broad spectrum of government employees. You think then that the units that are lower paid might be opting out?
I think there'll be a number of reasons that individuals may make a choice to opt in or to opt out. Economics certainly could be a factor for some folks, and no doubt the right-wing people will be pushing that as one of their suggested arguments to individuals suggesting that they quit their union membership. But I don't think there's any rule of thumb. I think for the most part, people who are working for government do see some value in the unions that represent them. They do know that they shouldn't be taking the benefits that they have for granted because, frankly, people before them sacrificed to get those benefits. And it shouldn't be such that you can just expect that the government, even government as an employer, is going to continue to give what you need. A perfect example, the government does not subject itself to the minimum wage law. So we still have over 2,000 employees in state government that don't make $15 an hour. And despite all the political rhetoric about it, that's going to be a continued fight. And I think people know and they don't take those things for granted. So I think they see value in their union membership.
Do you have concerns at all that there will be more tension within the units because somebody may be paying and somebody doesn't, and yet the union is providing a service to represent them?
That may prove to be the case in a number of workplaces. Certainly, there's a lot of discussion and controversy about individuals who would choose not to pay, yet would participate and take advantage of the services that are provided. And in some cases, what we may find are some of the individuals who choose not to pay are the ones who are always needing the help because they're always in trouble with management. So clearly, I trust that will cause some level of resentment.
And what about the message, I guess, that the union is trying to, I guess, reinforce to its members about why it's important to have a union?
This goes back for us a couple of years. We began, I don't want to call it a campaign, but certainly kind of retooled our efforts at HGEA a couple of years ago when we were facing the Friedrichs versus the California Teachers Association suit that was then pending in the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, that decision ended up in a 4-4 deadlock and in effect, no change in the law. We've been working a lot harder to make sure to educate employees, particularly newer ones, about the value that the union provides both directly through our bargaining as well as representation services, but at the same time, the additional value added that we can offer through our membership, whether it be in discount programs, scholarships, etc. So we've been working a lot harder to do just that and also be more visible in workplaces and ensure that people are treated in due process, et cetera. So it's an ongoing effort and something really that for, frankly, we should be doing.
No, you folks started that campaign. We are HGA. You expect you'll be continuing that and maybe more on point with a message about why the unions are important?
Well, certainly. And I think what we will continually try to do is improve what we offer, improve the services that we provide. We've improved our response time through some internal changes. And we're going to continue that as just a normal course of doing business. And at the same time, realizing that with generational change and different kinds of people coming into the workforce, it's going to take different things to continue to keep them interested in union membership. So some of the issues that unions are now really having to take a hard look at, where perhaps we hadn't in the past, but housing, the cost of housing for individuals because people are just priced out of Hawaii, as well as the cost of childcare.
We just saw Local 5 put out an interesting proposal. They teamed up with a group to explore this whole mortgage thing, and under that deal, I think the hoteliers would opt in on a trust fund, establish a trust fund to help their employees. Are you looking at something like that?
Well, for us, I think in the government sector, that might be a little different because it basically, for us to implement the same, it would require government to be paying in, which would require legislative action. You know, we're open to a lot of different ideas on our own. Over the years, we have worked with different mortgage companies to offer perhaps better rates, lower closing costs, what have you. But to be establishing a trust fund would be a little bit steeper climb for us because it would require ultimately taxpayer money.
Where are we at with the labor contracts?
All of our units are in the process of gearing up to negotiate new agreements that would begin July 1st, 2019. So every time there's a gubernatorial election, the process moves a little bit slower because the chief executive for the state's going to change. So we've begun the process, but things won't get into full swing probably till later this year, if not early next year.
There was a lawsuit filed by a handful of teachers from California who are trying to get all the dues that they paid in over the past several decades. It's a class actions lawsuit. How are you looking at that?
Well, frankly, our international union, AFSCME, is taking the lead along with the National Education Association and the SEIU to defend on that issue. The right-wing folks are relentless, and they're just not going to stop. This is more of a political battle than it is an ideological one. And they're basically trying to break the backs of labor unions as supporters of the Democratic Party. Witness the president's tweets. As the Janus decision was issued, he was tweeting how it was going to hurt the Democrats. This lawsuit, to me, is frivolous. It's an attempt to suggest that what was allowed under the U.S. Constitution over a 41-year period from 1977 to present, all of a sudden just never existed. And the premise that they're suggesting is that it should never have been considered constitutional in the first place, so therefore we were entitled to back dues. Well, that's a load of crap to me. As far as we are concerned, we're on solid ground. For 41 years, ABUD was the law of the land. This court decided to change that. So on a going forward basis, the rules have changed. But you can't undo history like this lawsuit is trying to do.
Do you expect there will be some challenge here locally?
I anticipate that outfits like the Freedom Foundation or the National Right to Work Legal Defense Fund will continue to pursue litigation throughout the country. As I said, they're relentless and they're very well funded by the super rich. So I would anticipate challenges of some kind in Hawaii, whether people challenge the opt-out process, whether people challenge different facets of employment. It's coming, sadly. It's coming.
Historically, Hawaii has been a pretty strong labor state, but that has actually eroded. How do you look at this decision going forward?
Well, for one, I'm not so sure that Hawaii's positive reaction to working people and their unions has eroded, as you suggest. You know, certainly the numbers have changed a little bit as the economy has changed, and you get different kinds of jobs in the marketplace. But I think overall what we can anticipate, while Hawaii will likely never be the hotbed of anti-labor kinds of activities that you'll see somewhere in the Midwest, for example, where there's a decidedly more conservative population, I think you can anticipate additional challenges and continued effort by mainland groups to try and come and influence how we in Hawaii are supposed to act and think.
And so how are you folks looking at the attempts to organize a constitutional convention? Do you think that works for you or works against you in this climate?
Well, the issue of the Constitutional Convention comes up every 10 years, and you know, certainly it's one that draws a lot of interest. We're particularly concerned at this point in time because it's happening at the same time that the conservatives are pushing for a national constitutional convention to revisit the United States Constitution. I have, and our organization has long believed, that the framers of our Hawaii Constitution did a good job. And in the Constitutional Convention back in the 70s that established land use laws and other civil rights for all of us here in Hawaii, they did a particularly good job in establishing Hawaii as a progressive, forward-thinking state. I, for one, am very concerned about the possibility that, given the national climate and given the potential for outside money to come in an attempt to influence our thinking, now's not the time. And I don't think there's any overarching reason that anybody has presented to suggest why we should be opening up our Constitution in total for change. There is a process through the constitutional amendment process to make changes. And that, I think, is sufficient. It's a very troubling time in our country, and I would argue it's not the time for us to be trying to revisit what the framers did many years ago here in Hawaii.
Anything else that you think would be important to underscore just from the union's perspective in this decision?
Well, for all of us, the path is clear. The rules may have changed because the right-wing folks and the rich have made their impact, but the bottom line remains that organizations like the HGEA will continue to fight to protect the rights and benefits of individuals who work for government. We're not going to lose sight of our responsibility to ensure that people that work for government get a fair shake, the same kind of shake that they should be entitled to working anywhere, you know, private sector as well. So, hey, we're going to adjust, we're going to thrive, and we're going to keep fighting.
Okay. Randy Pereira, thanks very much for joining us.
No, thank you.
That was Randy Pereira of the Hawaii Government Employees Association. And earlier this summer on The Conversation, we heard from other government unions representing university professors and firefighters. Are you a union member? Share what's on your mind. Call our talkback line, 808-792-8217.